So we are staying, Brother John, on verse 4, just on the stronghold.
Yeah, if we can develop that a little bit more, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, because just as we were talking about the stronghold, and just one mind went back to when David took the stronghold. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, just to understand how the enemy work in the matter of the stronghold. It said in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and just go for verse 7. Verse 7, and David took the stronghold, which is the city of David. The stronghold, after David takes it over, it's called the city of David. But the stronghold was in the hand of the Jebusite before David took it over. And the Jebusite are a crafty people. They were the people, the dweller of Gibeah, that have tricked Joshua to take their word of their mouth and their act. They acted like people who are coming from faraway country. And they asked to have a peace with the people of God. We are just like you. We're just like you. The verses that you have in the following chapter, in chapter 11, that Satan himself changed his appearance to an angel of light. His servant changed themselves as they are the apostles of Christ. So the stronghold here is people who pretend to be Christians. Pretend to say, sure, we do believe in God, but as we have heard, they have their own different view. He is one that is sitting up there somewhere, doesn't care about anything. Or he is not really, he is some kind of our imagination that we believe or something. It's just something that men have kind of devised to kind of have some control. That's a Jebusite. They come in a different way, and they deceive the people of God. Even Joshua was deceived, and the scripture tells us there that he took from their words and did not inquire from the Lord. It takes us back again that anything that we hear at university, at so-called Christian ministry, we need to take that and look at it in the light of the word of God. Does it pass the test or not? If it's not, it doesn't matter how it looks. The Jebusite looked real. Their shoes were old. Their clothes were old. Their wineskin were all kind of torn apart. Their bread was moldy. It's right there in front of you. Could you see it? Because faith really does not go by sight, but faith goes by the word of God. So those are the Jebusites. And the first thing David does after he takes the kingdom in chapter 5, actually, when they anoint him in Hebron, the first thing he does is he goes after the Jebusite. And they mocked him there. They said, listen, you want to come to us? You got to take out the blind and the lame. You cannot, you know, we are not going to send the strong against you. We're going to send the blind and the lame. And what these people are actually do, they do not see things right, and they do not walk right. And if you look at all of these professors of in the science world or in the Christian world, they don't see things right, and they don't walk right either. And Satan puts them, and he said, you want to take the stronghold? You got to get rid of these first. So what we need to do to take the stronghold down, those servants of Satan that are changing their appearance, changing the language, to come after us, to inject in our mind thoughts, we got to take care of not seeing right, because by faith, we behold the Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of God. Everything comes from heaven, from him, for our instruction. And we also need to realize that people who do not walk right, we could not follow them either. And David went, he took the city, he took the stronghold, and now it's no longer the stronghold of the Jebusite, it is the city of David. So the faculties that God had given us now, having been conquered, it is used for Christ.
Make a quick connection. In that same verse, we see through God. Now, one of the references provided along with this reading is in Mark 9. We see in Mark 9 verses 25-29 that there was one, there was, since Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. So there was a problem with possession, where one did not have control, and control was fully given over to Satan. So that's a stronghold. That is a very important type of stronghold, where a individual no longer has control over oneself, whether it's lust, whether it's pride. There's plenty of things in this world, as we've been saying, and it can even be education. You know, we can be led away and totally overcome by the how smart some of these people seem. They just sound right. We can sort of fall into that. And you see the account here that Jesus, God himself, has to rebuke this foul spirit. I charge thee. So this is the through God that we have here. But then notice, it doesn't mean that for the one who's going through this, it's going to be easy. It says that in verse 26, that the spirit rent him sore, and he was as one dead. So there is pain involved. It is through God. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easy. But the end result should be, and if it's in our own lives, that we have to see ourselves as dead. We can do none of this on our own. No stronghold can be done away with on any of our own power. It's through God.
The connection with chapter 11, with Satan's transformation into an angel of light, is also very helpful to see that these strongholds, if we connect the two, these strongholds seem very very acceptable. When Satan comes as an angel of light, it's also not an attack of force; it's an attack of deceit. When Eve was deceived, he didn't force the fruit down her throat. He made it look very attractive. He made it seem as if she would be more like God if she would eat that fruit. He made it seem like she would be advancing her cause if she would disobey God. But when God has already said it, then there's not a need to find some side route by which the deceit is more acceptable. The Galatians also had to deal with that kind of thing, where Paul said to them, if even an angel comes and gives you another gospel, you don't listen to that angel, because clearly that must be a deceitful angel who is changing the truth that you've already received. And so these strongholds, linking them with that transformation of Satan into an enemy as an angel of light, these strongholds often seem very palatable, and we've already identified some of these things. And in addition to all the higher learning that could influence us, I would add that it's also the influence of just all the people that we rub shoulders with who accept certain ways of living in society that seem very suitable, seem very proper. We should be tolerant people, right? That's a very proper-sounding principle of living. It's a stronghold of Satan if that idea of tolerance means that nothing matters anymore and anybody can define what's true. And there are many such principles like this, ways of living, guiding principles by which we should organize our lives. If God is a God of love, then why would anyone suppose that God tells people how to live in their social lives or in their personal lives? God is a God of love. Why wouldn't he just accept everyone? And clearly, that is not a clear and an accurate representation of who God is. And many times, those conversations that come into our ears and minds on a daily basis, it's what everybody believes. It's what those daytime talk shows believe. If you are so bored that you're watching some of these shows, The View, I haven't watched it, I know what it's called, but I've never watched it. You'll get a lot of views, and all it is, they love when these people are just arguing among themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of the most forceful view, or the most forceful or most compassionate sounding guidance that people would say, well, that's what I agree with. The way the news is presented, the way people give awards, the way people are recognized for achievements. Many of these are based on principles that seem very attractive in themselves. They're stated in a very nice, palatable, compassionate sounding way. They're strongholds. They will infect us. We will not live godly, correct Christian lives if we are infected by those and act as if they are representations of God.